Hey, gang, it's Fraser Smith, and it's time for Puck Off, and I am here in beautiful Beverly Hills, California. It's 85 degrees, guys, in February. How are you going to beat that? And we're doing a remote today because our buddy Joe Bartnik is back in his hometown of Pittsburgh. Balmy Pittsburgh. How are you, Joe?
Doing fantastic. Not exactly 85. And sunny, as they say around here, partly cloudy, a little rainy, chance of showers. But good times. Talking hockey everywhere, Puck Off fans everywhere. Getting great. I'm able to go on WDVE, the huge station here in the morning with the great Randy Bauman, Bill Crawford, and Mike Pursuta. Talking hockey, we got our buddy Mark Madden, the big dog in town. He's a Puck Off guy. We're going to start being on his show. So things are great for Puck Off here.
Man.
And then you were just on Dr. Ken. How awesome is that?
Man, that was something else, Joe. It was really great. You know, Dr. Ken Jung doing very well with his ABC show on Friday night. I think it's on at 8:30 on ABC. And he gave me a little guest starring part this week along with our friend Jeff Ross.
Oh my God. All the heavy hitters in comedy were there.
Wow. It was something else to be working with Jeff and Ken. And just a wonderful time, man. I think it went pretty well, and it'll be coming up on ABC in the next couple weeks.
We got to let everybody know, because I'm telling you, when you know, they go, oh, your partner's Fraser Smith, and, you know, you're a radio legend. People in radio know who you are. So people are like, Fraser, oh, you and Fraser's the best. I'm like, oh, Fraser's, he's the best. He's, I know. Fraser's doing radio, you know.
Well, that's nice to hear. I'll tell you, I'm a big fan of that, the Pittsburgh guys. They are, they have some great radio people in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you really can't beat them. I mean, that's kind of, you know, that's why the bar said hi. So that's why anytime they let me on the talk, it's always an honor. I've been doing good. They keep saying, come on back and spend as much time as you want. So we keep plugging Puck Off.
Well, you know what? You're great on the radio. I had you on my show on KLOS last Sunday night. And I really enjoyed that because, you know, the Southern California fans are starting to really get excited. They've got two teams in the Pacific that are in a race right now. And, you know, we pointed that out. And you're always great on the radio. So, and in Pittsburgh, hockey's so big, I'm not surprised that you're a hit there.
Well, we'll see. Well,
you know, they love hockey, man.
They buy tickets. You know, what's great is, you know who's actually in town right now? And we're going to go to a gate. We're going to go see Big Buff together.
Cool.
Ian Bagg is in town. He's playing the other club.
Oh, Bagg's there? Oh, great.
Yeah,
man.
He's playing the improv. So we're going to be doing the radio together Friday. Then we're going to go to the game.
You're going to go to the game? Oh, fantastic, man.
It's going to be fun. But
tell
him
hi.
Kings pulled one out last night against Calgary.
Yeah, and your boy scored the winner. Kopi got it done.
Yeah, he's back. I'm glad, you know, he seems to come back quicker than my other boy, Gino. He takes off more time than the president.
That's saying a lot.
First he's tweaked. Now it's 10 days. Now they're playing Rivalry Wednesday. He's not playing tonight. And
I talked to you on the radio show the other night on KLOS about it, but I haven't talked about it on Puck Off. I watched that entire game where you guys clocked the Red Wings 6-3. And Mrazek got pulled, and, you know, but you guys look great. I just wanted to say, at least in that game, it's one of the few games I've watched the whole game, you know, all season. And, man, you guys look good. Letang, the much maligned, looked fantastic.
Well, it was funny because he played awful on Saturday, and he's going to be on the awards at the end. And then he played great on Sunday. So he's back to being the, you know, up and down Letang, but all the kids, all of our rookies, are just stepping up. And you know how I say young legs. I love young legs. That's what wins you cups. It brings you energy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's literally, it's like, you know, I mean, you know, Fraser, I think you were always talented and you're always a DJ. But, you know, for us people that have had some jobs, you know, it's like the young kid at work or the young kid when you're waiting tables. The guy you're training, he's always ready to run and get the customer extra butter.
I know, and that's so annoying.
Or you need more ice. You know, the kid's ready for that. The old and grizzly veterans are, you know, it's like, it shouldn't be, you know, I always say this, it shouldn't be a birthright to play the third line.
Yeah.
You should be living in a hotel next to the facility.
Well, you know, you're right. And You know, there's something to be said for all of the above, though. You know, I think the veteran experience is always good to have in the playoffs, you know. But you do need those young legs. And, you know, it's been a particularly good year for rookies. There's a lot of great rookies in the league.
Oh, I'll tell you what. And speaking of Detroit and Pittsburgh, last night, your guys, the double A, I guess he's Greek. I thought he might have been black. I'm not quite sure. But he is faster than the speeding bullet, and he looked amazing again last night. Even when watching it with my dad, he's like, who the hell's that guy?
You mean this Riley Sheehan?
Oh, well, Sheehan set up, Sheehan has had your first shorty of the year, which I found amazing. That goes to show you how the Witch and Zetterberg were really slow starting. Your first shorty of the year was Sheehan. But no, you know, the double A guy, Anthus, Andre Anthus, he actually got to play the overtime with the Witch because his legs were going.
Ah.
And he just looked amazing. And Cronwall was back, and Mrazek was heated. He tried to move the puck, and they blew it dead. And I never saw Mrazek get so mad. The only goalie I've ever seen get that mad has always been a Flyer.
Well, you know,
Mrazek was going crazy.
Well, Sheehan got a goal, and then he got the shootout goal. And, you know, I was reading a thing where the coach said, you know, he's been using Nyquist and Brad Richards for their shootouts. And, you know, those are their two shootout experts, but it hasn't been working. So he switched it up and had Sheehan take it and got the goal.
Yeah, I mean, is Nyquist scoring in practice?
Dude, I don't know what happened, man.
I mean, you
my
got
favorite
throw
player.
Away your Nyquist jersey. And just get your Dylan Larkin jersey.
Yeah.
Just go buy that one.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's the seller now. Well, you know what? I mean, I still like Nyquist. I don't know what happened.
It was funny because they were re-retiring or just saying how much we love you last night to Nick Lidstrom.
I saw that.
Like,
yeah.
Nick, like he still could have laced them up and helped you out.
Man, what a great player, huh? Come on. One of the best.
Just,
one of the best.
Fun to see him. But now, getting back to the LA scene, you know, LA now, when we talked, the Ducks were just, you know, like, were 2 points behind on Sunday, but now the Kings just won. And, you know, it's just fun.
Wow. It's unbelievable.
In LA now,
the
right?
Ducks, I mean, the Ducks have been unbelievable. And, just scary good in their last 15 games. They look like the Ducks that everyone thought would be playing this season, and now they are.
Yeah, well, you know, the biggest problem now is that Anderson and Gibby are both playing good. Do you know what that means?
The usual goalie controversy going into the home stretch.
Yeah, goalie watch.
Yeah.
Goalie watch 2000. We need like a promo music.
Well,
like
Bruce.
Johnny got that. goalie watch.
Bruce wouldn't be happy unless there was one. And,
but you know, we never thought, you know, Bruce is just happy to be having a controversy. I thought he'd be debating that on the NHL network with Scott Stevens by now. So,
well, now you brought it up on the KLOS show the other night, but when I asked you, but give us your reasoning why you think the Ducks all of a sudden came alive.
Well, I mean, if you Getzlaff is playing like Getzlaff, I mean, he just. Something happened. He got like kryptonite in his jockstrap. Game 7 against Chicago, and he wasn't the same. But in Bruce Boudreau's defense, he never threw the captain under the bus. The GM did a little bit and said some guys came in out of shape, but he never did. And you know, so he got him back. So Bruce never. The team hung in there. For some reason, Hagelin wasn't working out. So you know, they got Perron from Pittsburgh. And Bruce, as a good coach, he shook up the lines.
Yep.
And now he has three lines. You know, we knocked Bruce. Bruce did a great job. He split up the lines. So he got Perron and Getz playing together. Then he has a line of and he has Perry on a line with Maroon, and then he has a Kessler Silverberg line.
Which I like. I like that line.
Oh, you know, Kessler's just, I mean, he's really come on as the season's been growing, you know, he's becoming more, you know, more and more effective. So now they got three lines, and they got to get Chris Stewart, who's, you know, sometimes a malcontent. He was playing with the big boys on the top line with Getz, and he was finding some rhythm. And you know, they get him back in this, and then they actually Simon Dupre's back, so they have all their defensemen that they want. Cam Fowler's picking it up. I mean, now they're just the team that we thought they were going to be. To quote, you know, the fat coach from Minnesota.
well, you know what they are.
The guy I wanted to say is Richard Raquel. Raquel, Raquel.
Yeah,
I love that guy.
Yeah.
I love Raquel. Yeah. He's
playing well.
On a show.
He really is. Yeah, that's a big difference right there. Well, yeah, it's exciting because now it's 4 points separating the Kings and the Ducks, and you know, and then San Jose's right there too.
And your boy Hurdle is 1.1 cheap assist away from his career high.
Hurdle's
so
having a
really
good year.
He's really turned it on.
Yeah.
So's Jumbo Joe Thornton. So they're playing hard up there.
They really are. San Jose looks good. That's a battle. You know, there's some real battles shaping up now. Look at in the Central. You know, Dallas and Chicago right at the top there, only a point separating them.
And I'll tell you, the Sharks did themselves a favor. They went out early, and they got Pollock and Spaulding from Toronto. The fire sale started in Toronto. And I kind of wanted Pollock, or Polak, I call him Pollock. I thought he'd be perfect for the Penguins, which means, of course, he'd be perfect for Detroit, because both of us are looking for our defensive defensemen that aren't orange traffic cones.
Yeah,
and Spaulding you can have. You know, I don't think Spaulding's going to make a difference on anybody's team. But they went out and got Pollock early, and that's big, you know. And they're not, you know, I mean, San Jose is on fire now. The home ice is now an advantage to them. But I look for the Kings to pull away now because they had the big, you know, Grammys road trip. They got kicked out by, they got Adele and Lionel Richie kicked them out of their house.
Right,
They went 3-3-1, but now they're back. Mm. Now they got like 8 of 9 at home. So I think the Kings are going to, now it looks like Gabrick might not be back so soon. So now, we're looking about who they might get. So let's take a break and go through all the trade bait right after this.
All right, we're back on Puck Off. Fraser Smith here in Beverly Hills and in Pittsburgh. The great Joe Bartnick. Joe, it is the trade deadline coming up. It's always an exciting time, and a lot of people need people, and I know you have some perspective on it. Where do you want to start on that?
Well, let's go to our we just ended with the Kings. We'll start with the Kings, but don't worry, everybody. We'll get to your teams, your needs, your wants, your hopes and desires.
Yeah, because at this time of year, it is like Christmas.
I mean, the Kings started early. I mean, we got LeCavier and Shen, which Shen's playing phenomenal hockey for him. I mean, you know, very safe. And LeCavier, like we've much noted, he looks like LeCavier from.
Oh, that was a great move getting him.
So now, would you like Pearson just to step up and not get in the, you know, salary cap hell? Or do you want to, you know, I think Pearson, I'm being a Penguin guy of always mortgaging the future. Kind of looking for Pearson to step up and, you know, kind of just let it happen. But if you do want to go fishing, Bodner from Arizona would be a nice pickup, a top six, a scoring guy, someone to play with Kopi or Carter or Andrew Ladd.
Oh, Andrew Ladd would be great. That is the number one guy that everybody's talking about at the trade deadline. And, you know, since Buff went re-signed, I think it makes, you know, Ladd's their big trade bait. Where do you think he might go?
I think Bodner or Ladd is going to Chicago.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, Stan Bowman has all the chips, and he's like playing the hustler.
Well, who does Bowman have?
He's Jackie Gleason playing pool. So I think whoever Chicago doesn't want, which I think I actually, if I was them, I would go for Bodner, because I know Ladd's maybe got more leadership and they know him. But I think Bodner's younger and got better hands, and they don't need leadership in Chicago.
Right.
Like, that's the one thing they don't need. So I don't know. I'm really, unless there's a big trade deadline deal that I think makes a huge difference. I mean, as a Penguin fan, of course, we had, you know, the Francis deal, and then we had other big deals. But I don't see anybody out there once Buff left the scene that's going to really make a huge difference and change the course. See, I would not want to put the Kings up against the cap or ruin, give away too many big picks. I think they're where they need to be anyway.
Well, they pretty much are.
The same with the Ducks.
Do you think there's a chance that Ladd would go to either the Kings or the Ducks?
I think there's a chance he can go to either, because they all have chips that can go back.
Right.
I mean, the Ducks have a bunch of young defensemen. The Kings have a bunch of forwards that are interchangeable.
Who would you give up? Who would you give up, Pearson? Who would you give up?
I think it would take a Pearson and a number one, because I think it's going to take a number one to get Ladd.
Right.
And then probably a Pearson.
Wow.
I think if you could give him a Nolan or a Clifford, I think I'd be much happier about that.
Yeah, but
number ones are tough. You know, number ones are tough to give up.
Yeah, they are. I think I'm thinking a little bit like you. I like Andrew Ladd a lot, but I don't know, like you say, that the Kings need to add anything. They have almost all their pieces. You know, you need to get Gabrick back.
And there's another player now that's in the mix. Now is our buddies in St. Louis. Because now Steen is hurt.
Uh-huh.
So I think that throws them right into the Bodner Ladd mix.
Uh-huh.
And they definitely have defensemen that are a little bit expendable. And I believe they have picks. So
maybe there's something there with Steen out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and he's a bona fide top six. And if anyone is going for it, it's Captain Kangaroo and the St. Louis Blues, you know. Because now, Allen just got re-injured, their goaltender. So Elliott's the man now. So they won't even be screwed up in another goaltending controversy, which seems to follow the St. Louis Blues everywhere.
Well, you know, they always have trouble in the playoffs, but they're right in there right now. Just a point behind, or 2 points behind Chicago and Dallas. So,
you know, I tell you, a guy I liked that was on the Toronto was Matthias. He played in Vancouver last year. It's kind of why I thought Vancouver was going to go further than they did, or not get smoked by Calgary. I think he's a cheaper guy that I think can play like second or he can play third line on a good team. The guy that's out there that because Montreal has just fallen on hard times is the great Dale Weiss.
Yeah. Wow. Dale Weiss is good.
Yeah, I mean, and that's who his name's been floating around, and I'm one of the people floating it on Pittsburgh radio. I think let's go after Dale Weiss.
Yeah.
I mean, because they can't want too much for him, because they literally got him for a ham sandwich. And I think he's a guy that would really change a lot for Pittsburgh, because, you know, someone has to sucker punch Eric Stahl, someone has to sucker punch Mark Stahl if they play the Rangers, you know.
Yeah.
Or at least injured Dubinsky in one of the regular season games if they're going to play Columbus. I mean, they need someone to defend Sid. And, of course, you know, he would be perfect for your Red Wings, too.
Yeah.
I like Weiss's out there. Louis Anderson.
We could put him in goal. Let's put Anderson in goal.
Yeah, he'll be up to increase the nets. There wouldn't be Gatorade behind. They'd be like sandwiches on top.
No one's going to score on him, though. There's no room.
Be like pudding inside the Gatorade container. But, you know, because it's funny, because in the mix now is like basically all the Canadians. Even Subban, because, you know, our buddy Mike Therrien benched Subban last week.
Yeah.
It almost caused the Rocket Rashad riots.
Yeah. I mean, well, who wouldn't want to have him, man?
I mean, Therrien has to go. And I like Mike Therrien, and I always thought it was genius he got to be friends with Subban. But that's how bad it got, is now they're at odds. And Subban's, of course, taking the high road, and what a class act. And he's, you know, Therrien's the coach, and I just play and everything. But, you know,
by the way,
going to go. I mean, if anyone could trade for Subban, then I take back everything I said about Bufflin being the only guy that could change the course of history. I mean, if someone gets Subban, it's over.
Well, yeah. I mean, it really is. He's a game changer for sure. And the Canadians are just having an insane year. Who knows what happened there? They've just fallen off the map. And did you see this? Now they're in trouble for offensive Twitter handles that they sent out on there. They were trying to get their 1 millionth Twitter follower, and then there's a backlash on that. They can't win this year.
Oh, my God. John Beliveau better be praying to St. John Beliveau, because ever since he left us, things have gone downhill. Yeah, and Carey Price, I guess, is out for the year.
Well, that's what did it. That's what really started him going in their spiral. But it, you know, it can't be just Price. There's other problems. And, I don't know. If they get rid of Subban, that would be crazy. But who couldn't use him?
Well, exactly. Well, a couple other guys, Russell from Calgary is a defenseman that, you know, obviously I think Detroit could use. It's funny, Washington just went out and got Weber from Buffalo.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
And some the great Phil Bourque.
Like we need to help the Caps anymore.
Yeah, that he's wished the Penguins on that. Weber's a Pittsburgh kid. I like him, but, you know, Weber's just like a Scuderi that might fight somebody. You know, I don't know why Washington needs him. You know who I think is going to make a big move, actually, is I think the Rangers are in play. And here's the Rangers and the Islanders both, I think, are in play for a big move. And I think a move that's it wouldn't be under the radar, but someone who's on the block that we love that could go to either one is Scotty Hartnell.
Ah, you're right.
Scotty Hartnell's on the move. The problem with him, and only the only problem with him, is he's making like 4.8.
But worth
that's
it.
A big price tag for an old man.
Yeah, but he's good. He's good, though. He could be a game changer for you at playoff time.
Oh, absolutely. And I think I see the Rangers in the mix for him. This is nothing I've heard. I just think he can score and he can get a little nasty. And I think that's what they need to. The Islanders don't exactly need nasty. They got a lot of nasty. So here's another guy under the radar that I like. Is this guy from Buffalo? I got to read my writing here. McGinn. I think you can get him for cheap.
Right.
From Buffalo. And he's a bigger guy, and he's going to go to the net and make room. And I think, you know, you play him with Nielsen, you play him with Tavares. Tavares is almost Lemieux, where he makes everybody better.
Yeah, he's great.
But you play him with Nielsen on the second line. He'll get you some goals up there on the island.
Well, you know what? That's a tight race in the Metro. Once you get below Washington. Washington's running away with first place, but everybody else is a tight pack there.
Yeah, and I mean, and now with McDonough hurt, you know, it takes a big slice out of the Rangers' plans to move Yandel.
Right.
They're going to keep Yandel. I don't know what he's going to bring. But you know, it's just funny that the Rangers have to be all in, because how much more can Hank? You got to go one or two more years with Hank, you know.
Yeah, you got to get
him. Hasn't even been playing, so they get Nash back. That should be like picking somebody up. But I think they need one more. They need a number. They need another scorer on that team. So that's who we're throwing out there. I don't think that Boston would trade him, but, you know, if they can't come to terms with Louis Erickson, but I think they're gonna ride Erickson out.
You think? Yeah.
And the other weird, not the other, but another weird piece is, I guess Yzerman is really just pissed at Drouin, and is just not going to trade him anyway.
Wow. Oh, that's wild.
Just let him sit there.
I don't know what to say.
And hey, if he can sync with Stamkos, he can sync with Drouin, right?
Yeah. I still can never figure out where the issue is with Stamkos. You know, he just keeps – he's got – it's his fourth consecutive game that he scored in just now. I mean, the guy's awesome. And
right.
There's some kind of issue. And I don't know what the Drouin thing is either.
Well, what I've heard is that Yzerman just loves Kucherov.
Uh-huh.
And you know I love Kucherov.
Yeah, he's great.
I think Kucherov is great. And if he would rather throw $7-8 million at Kucherov and then go get a Pozo from the Islanders, who's going to be a free agent, and we love a Pozo.
Yeah.
And then go pay him and then still have some money left for Hedman and Bishop and TJ and all the other guys. And that's what he's going to do. But I don't really have a problem with that. You know, if he wants to do that, I mean, what can you say? I just can't believe. I don't know. I would find a way to pay Stan. Well, you know, but that's what's wrong with me, because I got Crosby and Malkin, and I haven't won anything either. So I haven't won anything in 8 years. So what do I know? But I'll be looking to keep Kucherov and Stamkos.
Oh yeah, I think so. And Tampa Bay's starting to play a little bit.
Oh yeah, you know it's funny because they're kind of one of the, you kind of don't want them to do good.
I know. No, I know.
They hurt me. They hurt you. They hurt everybody. The other guy is your old Detroit buddy, Yuri Hudler, who's been in Calgary. He's a good fit maybe on the island.
Yeah, he can play.
You know,
yeah.
And you know who would have been a good pickup for a lot of teams is old Dennis Weidman. But he wanted to, cross-check referees.
Well, now that is, the appeals, he's appealing his suspension later this week. The ref, by the way, is still not back in action.
Yeah, and not knocking the guy, but, when you're on Workman's Cup, who's hurrying up?
Well, that's true, too. But that's true. But,
I can stay home and I can stay in my house in, Florida, or I can go work the Lions at Calgary tonight.
He took a pretty good shot there, though.
He sure did. But,
yeah.
I'm all for 20. I think anything less than 20 is wrong.
Well, it shows you how tough the players are. They take shots like that all the time and are back on the ice the next night. I mean.
Yeah, he was not suspecting it at all. I mean, when you don't suspect it.
That was ugly. That was ugly.
And that really is the difference. Like, people say, these guys are in shape. They're in shape, but they're not in player shape.
No.
Yeah,
you're right. And he didn't see it coming. What do you think's going to happen with the Weidman thing? What was it, 30 games?
It's 20.
20.
And then Bettman upheld it. So now they go to an independent arbitrator. Unless he falls for the concussion BS line, which I think is BS, I think he has to maintain it's 20. 20 is the most you can get. I don't know, other than swinging his stick at the referee's head, I don't know what else he could have done that was worse.
Don't give him any ideas.
Right?
It was pretty bad. I think the 20 games was fair.
The first time I saw it, I was an idiot. That's why Twitter's bad. Someone just said, I watched it on my phone, and I can't see where the damn anyway. And I thought he just kind of bumped him. Like, I'm like, you got to protect the zebras. He needs a game for it. Thinking, I didn't mean to. He just kind of bumped him out of the way. And I watch it on my television. I'm like, oh, my God, he tried to kill the guy.
No, he gave him a shot, man.
Yeah, he gave him a total. I mean, that was Craig Berube. I mean, Dale Hunter would have been proud of that shot.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that was a shot.
Wow.
And then he didn't even try to make like I didn't mean to hurt him.
Well, that's the part I didn't like. He says that he went over and apologized later, but he didn't look like he even cared.
Yeah, I don't know.
He claims it's because he was still dingy from that hit that he took, but I don't know. I don't think.
Yeah, that just seems like a little too much.
I think he knew what he was doing there and just was mad, and that wasn't a good move on his part. So
yeah, he's probably like, we're not making the playoffs, and I can sit out 10 games anyway. My ex-wife will just be getting the money or whatever.
Yeah, something was going on.
Look, he was calculating what he was doing. He was skating up like, I'm going to crack him.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's what it looked like, yeah.
He didn't, like, turn around, like, who hit me and just crack somebody. It was weird. It was bad.
It really was. It was a dangerous thing.
Getting off the hook. Mike Richards now, Canada, is saying you're not off the hook, but we're not going to do anything right now. I guess it's kind of like probation in Canadian terms.
Oh, okay. Right.
He just scored the other night, Mike Richards. Everyone's happy for him.
Well, he was quite a player and the go-to guy if you needed OxyContin.
Power play.
Yeah, that was your Rush Limbaugh. All right. So, and what do you think in this trade deadline coming up? Eric Staal. I was hearing some rumors about that.
I think Captain Ron has to go for it in Carolina, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got Boychuk.
I think they're like. How sad it is as a Penguins fan. They're like a point behind the Penguins. I mean, they got to try. If you don't make the playoffs for 8 or 9 years, you got to try.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying you have to give away. I'm not saying you have to go and add salary or give away draft picks. But I think you got to keep them. Then he'll come off the cap, and you can get other people.
Yeah. Right. Good point. Well, I think they should think about bringing Zach Boychuk back up. Because this is our boy, and we know he can score, and I think they need him.
Well, you know, he's probably floating around ready. You know, he's one of those guys that you'll see on the ticker maybe in the morning. You know, like someone may pick him up just for that exact purpose.
Yeah.
He'll probably go to the Capitals because they take everybody.
Well, Zach can put him in the net, you know.
Some other big news is – the Islanders now are saying we're going to leave Brooklyn in a couple of years and go back to the Islands.
Oh, really?
Well, they're upset with Brooklyn.
Hmm.
Because of everything that's wrong with Brooklyn, you know, like having the car in the middle of all the seats and, you know, just and their fans are still mad because they don't want to come into Brooklyn. They're all on the Islands.
Jay-Z wants to sit on the bench.
He wants to call them the lines.
Yeah.
Beyonce has to sing the national anthem every
game. Every game. Yeah.
Every game. She's no Pia.
Yeah, well, who can top Pia? Only Beyonce, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, you know what? Yeah, that's interesting. It's not working out then.
I'm happy because most of my Long Island friends are big Islander guys.
Yeah.
And they didn't really like the move. So bring them back, fix it. It's one of those things where, you know, you have to break up with the girl for her to want you back.
Oh, yeah.
They had to do this for then Long Island to fix up their arena.
I think that's true. You know, now, speaking of the Isles, though, and the trade deadline, I was reading an article today about Butch Goring. Remember the great Butch Goring?
Oh, yeah, he does their color. He loved Butch.
And he went to the Isles there, and they got, on the trade deadline, they got 3 cups out of it.
Yeah.
80 through 83. They were strong, and Butch Goring was a big difference. And got him at the trade deadline.
He's like the poster child for, he's the original trade deadline guy.
Yeah.
And then you had Francis Captain with the Penguins, and you had Tocchet and Shel Samuelson with the Penguins, and then basically you jumped to the Kings.
And Gabrick.
Yeah.
Who came in and got it done for him.
I'm missing somebody in there. I think I'm missing a. Maybe the Red Wings did all their damage. I'm trying to think. Maybe an Avalanche. Hey, what do you think of this weekend outdoors?
I love it. I love that.
The Red Wings and the Avalanche. Are you gonna bring your rifle and fire Claude Lemieux from the upper deck?
I feel like flying to Colorado, man. that is going to be awesome, bro. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be the first alumni game with a line brawl.
Yeah, probably. Oh, that's hilarious. Probably will be. But I love that idea. Should be a great setting.
Yeah, it's going to be right, of course. But I like when they're in the baseball stadiums because even though, I mean, the one in Michigan was just amazing because it's the big house.
Oh, the big house.
I think
can't
the
beat.
Football ones, people sit. I think baseball one, I think just for the fans, I think they get better seats. I think it's a lot closer.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, the big house is so big that, yeah, you're probably too big for hockey. But, yeah, the ballparks, the baseball parks are great. Although my nephew went to the big house game and he loved it.
Yeah, I can't wait. I guess the Penguins, they said, are going to take on the Flyers at Steelers Stadium next year, and then they're going to go play in Philly the year after. That's the big rumor here.
Oh, well, you know. Those.
They were going to do it at Penn State, but they didn't have enough state police force.
Oh. It's an unhappy
to have that game. They have that game in anything but either Pittsburgh or Philly. There's not enough cops.
Yeah, you need the cops for that one.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Need
I'm
a full
you,
turnout. Yeah,
wearing armored gear. just a friendly fire in the stands there.
Yeah, you could that could get you. You know, but it has been a success. The I think we'd all agree these outdoor games.
Well, you know, the thing is even if it's, you know, it's funny because there's a huge article, and maybe we'll get to it. Maybe we'll get to it after the awards. But just to finish this segment was about, you know, trying to grow the game and the scoring. And I always say, I don't care if the game gets any more popular. I'm happy the way it is. But those outdoor games bring so much money at the gate. Like, instead of a ho-hum, you know, 18,000 in Minnesota, they're getting, you know, whatever, 75,000 tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everyone's buying the outdoor gear. Everyone's buying the new jersey. I mean, the new jerseys on half these games are amazing. I love the outdoor jerseys.
Yeah, they're cool.
Everyone wants one of those. And it brings excitement, even if it's not nationally, even if someone from Tulsa is not going to watch the game because it's outside anymore. It's big for the teams involved and the season involved. That's all the night. It's all for fun.
Well, the thing I loved was seeing that game at Dodger Stadium a couple of years ago. That was the setting was unbelievable.
Well, how about Cheap Trick? That was great.
Yeah, man.
Cheap Trick played this weekend, the outdoor game. That was the best.
How do you beat that?
You can't. I mean, you know, you have Beyonce and you can have the horrible band. I love
Coldplay.
Coldplay. Horrible. I'll take Cheap Trick. I mean, I'm not going to knock Bruno Mars. That guy was amazing. Bruno, they should always have Bruno Mars at the Super Bowl.
They should, but Coldplay almost drove everyone out.
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, you got a Cheap Trick.
Yeah, come on, Cheap Trick rocks, man. Well,
that's what makes hockey the best. They bring Cheap Trick.
Well, hockey players know. If hockey people know how to rock.
Yeah. Totally.
That's the thing.
All right, speaking of rocking, we will be back with, we got some fun ones this week on the awards coming next.
All right, we are back on Puck Off. Frazier Smith here in Beverly Hills and Joe Bartnick in his hometown of Pittsburgh doing some shows this weekend at the theater. And we are talking puck. Is it still time for awards?
Yeah, here's the awards. First, fantasy update. Here you go, Mr. Winwood. Our boy Jarmerson, still number one. And then we have Stall Stash number two, Claude Lemieux hat trick in a third, and elbowing, otherwise known as Jose Galvez, rocking in the fourth spot. I'm still at number nine, haven't cracked eight yet. But our boy Tony Bench dropped to number 11.
Uh-oh.
We were on a remote. We'll have to hear.
You could just
Johnny,
see the look on his face, man. He's.
We'll have to hear Johnny next week. Maybe he can get back to 10, or we'll have to hear.
I don't know if he can put himself on today or not.
I've been sick. Oh, there he is. Sinus infection. That's why.
He's blaming it on the sinus infection.
IR.
He's blaming it on the sinus. All right.
All right, Johnny.
Well, it's nice to hear.
I'm coming
from
you, though.
Uh oh. Look out, bro.
Johnny's ready for the deadline. Okay, there is no Mario's or Claude's now.
Okay.
For skirt of the week. I'm gonna go the old fashioned way. The man that it always is, the man who, while we have the award, Keith Yandel.
We should just give it to him every week.
Well, Panarin, the bread man, the yeast mode, gets a hat trick into an empty net. The puck's already like in the net. Yandel comes over and tries to break the kid's arm with a slash.
Come on, Yandel.
Keith, either play some defense or go home. Slash me, and the puck's already in the net.
Wow.
It was in the goon category. We didn't have a true skirt, so I'm like, that should give you handle. That was pathetic. You
know, right.
Hey, I have more respect getting up here, ran him through the boards like a man.
Yeah, yeah.
Slashing him. Give me a break.
All right, he gets the skirt of the week.
Give me the skirt of the week. Now here's the fun one we got. Here's the fun one we got is your Howie Award.
The Howie Young Award.
Howie Young Award.
Who do we have up for that?
For Idiots on the Ice, the great Christopher Letang.
Oh, here we go.
Well, here's what Chris did on Saturday. A guy slashed a stick out of his hand. So Chris tried to fight him, wrestled around, stole his stick from him, and played with his stick.
Oh, no. Oh, that's a Howie Young, all right.
So you get the 2 minutes for playing with somebody else's stick, and then he argued the point and got another two minute on sportsmanlike conduct.
Oh, he gets the award.
So 4 minutes of foolishness brought to you by Christopher Letang.
Yeah, man, I love it. Playing with the other guy's stick. You can't get any better than that's great.
Now the other fun one for Howie, you can cue the music again for Howie. This is a fun one because he's just hilarious. Is I don't know if you've seen Blandisi. Remember how
Blandisi's wild.
He plays hockey like he's playing European soccer.
Oh, this guy, yeah, yeah.
Roenick called him out. He gets touched. He got slashed like a little peck. He jumped up in the air and his legs came out from under him. He's gotten two dives in 2 weeks.
Everybody's laughing about his dive ability. And, yeah, he can. He's a good actor, this kid.
I mean, he just jumps in the air. So I just think that just seemed like a clown move to me, too. So we put especially the one against the first one he actually got hit last week and he jumped back. I mean, he acted like he got hit by Probert, but, he jumped. But the slash in the Ranger game, the other Monday night was just absolutely ridiculous how high he jumped. It's a slash. You don't jump in the air after your slash.
Well, Blandisi does. Yeah, he's a character. I'll tell you what. Yeah, but I think we got to go with Letang on this one.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Go for Mr. Letang.
I like that, playing with the other guy's stick. That's cool.
Yeah, now we have two Ronnie James Dios.
All right, here we go. Come down with fire. Lift my spirit higher. Someone screaming my name. Come and make me holy again. I'm the man on the silver mountain. And who is the man on the silver mountain? The man.
We got the aforementioned Panarin, the bread man, yeast mode against the New York Rangers with the hat trick on Madison Avenue.
Or nice.
Not Madison, but on Madison Square Garden. And then your old buddy waking up Phil Forsberg.
I saw that.
Against the Leafs picking on the the AAA team.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that. I was glad to see that. Well, I got to go with my boy Forsberg.
Right on.
I mean, they're both impressive, but
yeah,
but
give Phil some love. We've been knocking Phil a little bit this year.
Yeah, we got to give him a little bit. This year.
Yeah.
All right, so Forsberg gets the man on the Silver Mountain for his hat trick.
Now, we do have the very illustrious. You gotta earn this one. The Bob Probert Award this year goes to Kalainen of New Jersey for the goal and the fights.
All right, fights, plural.
Yeah. Just one fight. But you're going to see what a great fight it was. What we do now, we'll do the Goons of the Week.
All right, here we go.
Now, in this fight, in the Kalainen fight, he fought T.J. Miller. And T.J. Miller was thrown out of the game because his hands were taped up like a boxing fighter.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. He got tossed out.
It's like old school, like slap shot. Little Bob Probert right there.
Yeah, that was old school.
It was probably like he's such a player and a winner. You know, T.J.'s such a goal scorer and a good guy. He probably just had it taped up for injury. He probably had no idea he was going to fight.
Well,
that's why you never take fighting out of the game, because the guy just got riled up and fought.
Yeah.
Pure emotion.
That was awesome.
Now, the rest of the goons. TNT,
I'm dynamite. TNT, I'll win the fight. TNT, I'm a power. TNT, watch me explode.
We have Strowman of Tampa Bay hit Brian Little with it. It was not even that. It was a bad hit only because Little's head was way down. You talk about looking at the puck at center ice. Little was trying to snort it. His head was way down low. So Strowman was in the wrong place, wrong time. Like, he was running him, but he just tried to hit him regular, and he nailed him. So he had to answer to Wheeler right there.
Right.
It was nice to see Wheeler, goal scorer, but a big guy, took matters into his own hands, didn't wait for all of the Winnipeg's goons. But what's funny about this was the rather calm, usually Paul Maurice, just went ape crap for like three periods. So,
okay.
That was a fun one there. We had Leo Komarov with the atomic elbow. Dusty Rhodes style to the Rangers captain. Bad hit, bad move. We like Leo, but that wasn't good.
No.
We have Roosevelt, one of the oldest guys in the league, with I thought, completely clean hit. Don't get upset, Minnesota, at the outdoor game. And he ran your buddy Zucker. I didn't run him. He just checked him, but Zucker went, fell back, hit his head. They threw Roosevelt out of the state. But I thought it was a clean hit, but nonetheless. And then just a mega hit Monday night, a mega hit. Ryan Reeves, who should be playing for the LA Rams now, just absolutely destroyed Tennyson of the Sharks. It was a little bit, saw the numbers, but basically he took 30 strides, and the guy should be playing in the NFL, so he just blew Tennyson up, which in turn Tennyson got Reeves got a 3-game suspension.
Yeah. Well, he lined him up. He took, 30 strides.
He did. I don't know if you saw the hit. I mean, yeah. And then Tennyson bounced like a tennis ball off the wall. I mean, he got destroyed.
Wow. Well, what do you think? Does it go to Reese or Wheeler?
I just for pure poops and giggles, I've been thinking T.J. Miller with the wrapped hand, a la, the crippler Ray Stevens.
Yeah.
Blackjack Mulligan,
Yeah, sure. It's like Mayweather.
All right. I think because Reeves always shows Reeves his ugly big head in these events. So, and Komarov, that, I mean, he was really the goon. You know, the real the goon, the rat bastard was definitely Leo Komarov, because what he did to McDonough was just cheap. It was Raffi Torres-esque.
Yeah, that's cheap. Well, do you want to go with cheap, or do you want to go with unusual with T.J. Miller?
It's your call. You you know.
I think
know,
the wrapped hands gets them the award.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. All right, we have some great, and I've been finding the saves now, putting them online.
I saw a good one. Was it Dubnyk?
All right, what's yours?
Well, I saw Dubnyk make a stop.
Oh, yes. People were sending that one to me.
That was pretty brilliant. It was
that was a big one.
Yeah.
That was a big one. Here's one you saw live you didn't like. I have The Flower on Abdicator. Twice. With the leg. Remember, he spread out like the scorpion, and the Abdicator hit him in the leg once and tried to go upstairs, and Flower lifted his leg up, and that was amazing.
I did not like seeing that, and it was a great play.
And now we have one for you. We have last night, Mrazek in OT off Atkinson just robbed him. There's a couple great ones last night in the Detroit-Columbus game. Then Columbus's McHenry off a beautiful pass by Smith, your defenseman. A beautiful pass for Shahan. Smith, the defenseman, came in. I thought it was a goal, and McHenry said no.
Wow.
And then one more we got Jones from San Jose stacked the pads and then had the glove up, so went in the glove, old school 70s Billy Smith on the island, and he's dropped Trocheck, who can definitely score. So, and your Dubnyk, whichever one you want.
I gotta go with Dubs.
It'll make all the Twitter, it'll make Twitter Nation happy.
Well, it was a great save, you know.
Yeah. Hey,
I don't reflexes. Very good.
I don't knock Minnesota anymore. And speaking of that, I have an interesting stat coming up right after this.
All right, guys, we're back for our final break on Puck Off. Joe Bartnick is in Pittsburgh. I am in Beverly Hills, and we are rolling. We're going to talk about your article in a second, Joe. But,
it's interesting stat, because you love the old Zach Parise.
Yep, my buddy.
And I love the Parise. I just don't think he's your number one. You know, but here's the tail of the tape. And I said, I don't know if he's a Kane, right?
Right.
Tail of the tape. USA goal scorers since 2007. Guess who leads all guys from the United States of America?
My buddy.
Zach Parise clocking in at 278.
Sweet.
The great, tongue-in-cheek and hot dog in mouth, Phil Kessel clocks in at 265.
Okay.
Little Joe Pavelski. I love Pavelski. I'll take
Pavelski. Oh, yeah, Pavelski's
Eddie.
Awesome.
Love Joe Pavelski.
Yeah.
254. Now, in fourth place is the guy who I would have thought had more goals than Parise, and the guy who is making more than Zach Parise, Patrick Kane, 239.
Well, Patrick Kane is coming on strong, though, as we all know this year. And you know, but it is amazing that there's guys who've gotten more goals. And because I would have put Kane at
Zach
the top.
Zach's 50 ahead of him. Zach's 40. Next to 40 ahead of him.
Well, so. I've always thought Zach was a great player. You know, I don't know if he always gets the credit he's due. But I wouldn't have picked him to be number one in the scoring, but I'm glad he is.
Yeah, for the USA. We talked about Hartnell. There's a couple more names. Matt Hendricks from Edmonton. I think he might be a nice – he's an old grizzled guy. He'd be a nice pickup for a team, maybe the Red Wings. Maybe a – team looking for a little grit, who's, you know, kind of been on some winning teams, not one at all. Some guys have been around the block, and a defenseman that I think that, you know, that I would like to see go anywhere. Probably won't go to Pittsburgh, but I think it'd easily go to Detroit. I don't know. I mean, it'd help anybody as in Edmonton or in Vancouver. They think that Trouba might be on the block.
Hmm. Oh, Trouba. Yeah, I like Trouba.
Yeah, I would say so. And you know who else who would help? It would really help Minnesota. Speaking of teams that would need help, is your buddy Hansel in Arizona. They say is on could be moved.
Hmm, that's interesting.
You've always
too.
Been a big Hansel guy.
Yeah, I have. Good player.
Big guy pulling draws.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I think he has the speed to play with the Red Wings, but.
Well, yeah, you know, it's where you go too, right? You got to fit their system.
Yeah, I'll just read there's some guys, but not to just you know bore everybody near the end here. But you know, you always see the things like oh, you know, Purcell and P.A. Parenteau and Stepniak, and we're seeing some guys like and you know Jones, and it's like are they going to change the course of history? You know, I don't see that happening. So.
Well, no, the thing you got to do is get that Gabrick, you know, like the Kings did a couple of years ago, where it's just what you needed.
Yes, exactly.
You know, everyone's got a piece of the puzzle they really need, and if you can get that guy, not always easy to do.
No, and that's why I think it was. I think Pollock was the piece for the Penguins, and I think he was the piece for Detroit too. So now we'll have to see. L.A., if L.A. could swing Boddicker or Bodner, I think that's the piece for L.A.
You do, huh?
I think Bodner, I think Hartnell's the piece for the, I think Hartnell's the piece for the Rangers. I think Bodner's the piece for the Islanders.
Uh-huh, sure, I could see that, yeah. Yeah.
I think the Capitals are, I think it's, everyone's chasing, and I think Bodner's the piece for Chicago. I think Ladd is the piece for St. Louis.
Well, let me ask you this: if Bodner goes, does Ladd stay?
Well, Bodner's in Arizona.
I mean, since Buff signed, does Ladd go?
Yeah, they say Ladd's going to go. That's why even Trouba might go because of the Buff signing. But I think watch St. Louis make a play for Ladd. They need a bona fide winner, you know. And now that Steen's gone, they need someone. They need a big time winger.
Yeah.
So I think Ladd to St. Louis could be your Gabrick. It could be your Vermette.
Does
remember
it,
you heard it here first.
Do you think he goes?
He's going to go somewhere. I think St. Louis has some pieces to give. That's some young guys, you know. It's gonna take a lot to get him.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
St. Louis, I think, has a lot of young forwards.
Man,
they're gonna want a young forward back.
That would really help.
It may even take Fabry. You know, it may take someone at that level. Someone in St. Louis is jumping off a bridge now, but it may take that. I'd rather give up a Fabry and get a number one draft pick because you're loaded right now.
Well, they're loaded, and if they get Ladd, they're really gonna be good.
Well, they need that bond. I mean, it was funny. We haven't even talked about our the great. What does the great Lindy Ruff? The great Lindy Ruff could have used Pollock. You know, the great Lindy Ruff could use. The great Lindy Ruff could use Russell from Calgary. That might be a good one. All they need is more defensive defensemen.
Well, I think that's what everybody's looking for. You know, some people need some scoring, but you know everybody wants that solid, like you say, the old school D guy.
Yeah, but the old school is now the dinosaur. You know, the Scott Darys and those guys, the guys that can't move, that just block shots and just eat wood. Those guys they're kind of phased out, like the goons. You know,
well, I think they are, but
you got to be able to move a little bit. Like Russell can move. You know, Pollock could move. You know, you got to be able to move a little bit. Or else you're not helping Dallas.
No,
if
I agree.
You're slow, you're not helping Dallas.
I agree
Dallas
on that. But I wasn't really thinking slow. I was thinking more of someone who plays back, who plays defense. Because in the playoffs, you're going to need that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's, you know, I think we've hit almost every team. I mean, you know, a team like Florida, they say, you know, he can play anywhere. I wouldn't touch Florida if I was.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Are they a pat hand?
I mean, they're all young. I'd stick with them. They have enough veteran guys. I would roll the dice. I mean, they need more scoring. Maybe a third line, maybe a fourth line guy, third or fourth line guy. Maybe that's a TV. You know, you pick up Versteeg, maybe. You know, maybe Lars Eller. But that's not, you know, the big goals there are going to be scored by Barkov and Bucinet and Jágr.
Yeah, they are.
You know, and Trocheck. It's not going to be, well, you never know. And it's a stupid thing to say because in the playoffs, anything can happen. So which Lars Eller score the game winner?
What about Versteeg?
Everyone always wants Versteeg, and then Versteeg never does exactly what, you know, what Vermette did last year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Vermette was good. All right, well, we're going to see what happens. It is an exciting time, trade deadlines, you know.
We'll have all the news next, all the news is fit to print next week, and I think we're going to have a very special guest. I'll be back in Los Angeles, so, you know, thanks to the great Johnny Bench.
Fantastic job putting together this remote.
Fantastic job,
yeah.
And, you know.
Not many can do it. Johnny did it. And have great shows this weekend in Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Come on out. Pittsburgh, the Arcade Theater. Thursday, one show. Friday, two shows. And then next week I'll be at Flappers in Burbank on the weekend. Two shows Friday and Saturday. And then we hit North Jersey, me and Verzi, the end of March.
Great. The great show. Well, say hi to all the gang in Pittsburgh, all your radio buddies there. They're cool. And I am at the world-famous Laugh Factory this weekend in Hollywood. Also, the radio show, KLOS. I always appreciate it when the Puck Off fans listen. Joe was on last week. He'll be on again soon because we got the playoffs coming. And,
and it wasn't me. Your show this week, it wasn't even me. It was great. I mean, does it get better than Alan Havey?
Alan Havey's awesome, isn't he?
Yeah.
My God.
And
Steven, too.
He has
got
his
the
stories.
Sam Kinison stories that are unbelievable. Thank you. It was a fun show, and you were on the show. And I'm on every Sunday night, guys, if you want to check it out, 10 p.m. L.A. time. And love to have you check it. And then the Dr. Ken show, I don't know when that's going to be airing, but next couple weeks I am on the Dr. Ken show.
I can't wait to see Seth DeTivo for that one.
Well, that was fun. And so is this today. Puck Off, always awesome. Puck Off fans, you are awesome. They're starting to come up to me everywhere. Joe, I know you run into them because you're back east a lot and open for all the big guys like, our friend Bill Burr and Lisa Lampanelli. But, I'm starting to get them out here. Somebody came up at Comedy Store the other day and was a Senators fan, and he had his Ottawa jersey on. He says, man, we're all big fans up here. So that was cool.
Yeah, they're literally everywhere. And they're all cool. And some of them, I love when they wait a couple of weeks for me.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, you said this.
Yeah, they love to jump you, man. And by the
that's
way,
the thing, the podcast, radio people forget podcasts last forever.
Oh, that's right, my friend. That's right. I always.
Lars Eller is going to be your Conn Smythe Trophy winner.
Well, it was fun today, man. And we didn't do the tweets because, you know, it's a remote. It's harder to put together with a remote. But we love it when you tweet. So please keep those tweets coming, and we'll try to answer them next week.
Oh, yeah, there'll be tons of next week.
All right, cool. All right. Well, enjoy your shows, man. Have fun back there in Pittsburgh. And for Joe Bartnik, this is Fraser Smith for Puck Off. We are out!